Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the Kentucky and the West Virginia AFL-CIOs. We appreciate their support very much. Joining me today from the American Prospect, we've got David Bacon. David, welcome back to the Union Edge.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Charles.
Always a pleasure, man. We appreciate it. NAFTA and the cross-border disaster. I'm especially in tune to this because I'm a former immigration enforcement officer, and NAFTA has been just absolutely devastating for farmers and others in Mexico. I mean, corn production here in the United States being shipped down into Mexico has decimated corn farming in Mexico. There are
That's right, Charles.
I don't think people have a very clear picture of just how bad it's become down in Mexico and why people are temporarily or have been temporarily coming north to the United States to find jobs. And one of the other things I need to point out is the vast majority of people coming into the United States from Mexico are not immigrants, okay? They have no intention of staying in the United States. That's not what they want. They want to come here, earn some money, and go back home and readjust their lives. But go ahead.
Well, I think that what we've seen in the years that NAFTA has been in effect, Charles, is that we've lost on both sides of the border. I was just listening to that radio ad before we started our interview here from the union, the workers at Nabisco, who are talking about Nabisco's decision to relocate a lot of production to Mexico. And, of course, we know that many, many U.S. corporations have done this because one of the things that NAFTA did was it tried to, and didn't just try to, it did kind of really deepen the use of Mexico as kind of a low-wage pool of labor for
right.
U.S. corporations. So, you know, the Department of Labor used to keep count of how many jobs we lost to Mexico because people were able to apply for extended unemployment benefits as a result of that. President Bush told the Department of Labor to stop counting because the statistic got to be pretty embarrassing. So the last count, according to DOL, was over 500,000 jobs. The Economic Policy Institute says that Mexico says that we lost over 690,000 jobs, possibly way more than that. But workers in Mexico also lost jobs. That's one of the big ironies of this treaty. Just in the first year of the treaty, 1994, Mexico lost 1 million jobs because the treaty provoked a economic crisis in Mexico, which led to the devaluation of the peso. It led to enormous poverty. So that was one thing that happened in Mexico, was just that straight out elimination of jobs. Mexico also used to have, for instance, a domestic content law that said that the big U.S. primarily auto plants that the big three have built in Mexico had to buy a certain amount of the parts that were going into those cars from Mexican producers. Well, NAFTA came along and said that was a restraint, an illegal restraint on those big corporations, and that they should be able to get parts from wherever they wanted. So actually, they began buying parts made in other countries, importing them into Mexico, putting them into the cars, and then exporting the cars to the United States as a result
right.
of that.
And not having those parts made
Mexicans.
Right. And not having those
right.
parts made domestically.
That's right. And so Mexican workers lost jobs because of that. But you pointed to one of the most serious impacts of NAFTA, and that was the dumping of agricultural products in Mexico by Archer Daniels Midland, Continental Grain Company, Cargill. These are all big corn producers in the U.S. And they took advantage of the treaty and began selling corn in Mexico at a price that was 19% below their own cost of production. And you ask how they were able to do that? Well, they took our tax money from the U.S. Farm Bill, and they subsidized their production costs, and then they dumped that corn in Mexico, basically because they wanted to take over the market for corn in Mexico. And Mexico is a corn-producing company. In fact, corn was first domesticated thousands of years ago in Mexico. So the impact of that was that farmers could not sell their corn for a price that was able to pay the cost of growing it. And they had to do something for their families to survive. And so people went from rural areas into the cities, into Mexico City, into the cities along the border where they became workers and maquiladoras. But many, many people came to the United States. And the number of Mexican migrants living in the United States went from about 4.5 million when NAFTA went into effect to about 12.5 million by the time this peaked in about 2008, 2009. So the impact on Mexico was extreme. It really faced people with a choice about how they and their families were going to survive. And that's really the same choice that we faced here, Charles. You know, the people who lost their jobs, in whether it was in bakeries or Nabisco, or especially in Detroit and auto plants, we also became migrant people in many ways. You know, people who lost their jobs in auto plants and steel mills wound up going from city to city to city looking for work, just in the same way that people were coming across that border from Mexico looking for a means for their families to survive. So I think the most important thing to see here is that the people who walked away winners in this were the so-called one percenters, the big corporations. And the people who walked away losers here were workers on farmers on both sides of the border.
I agree. What are some of the other things, misinformation that's out there that should be clarified for some in the American public?
Well, I think one of the most important things that NAFTA did for us, Charles, is that this certainly wasn't on the minds of those people who wrote the treaty, but it made us, as union people and as working people on our side of the border, it made us look at Mexico and try and see the reality of what was happening there. And the same thing happened in Mexico. Unions in Mexico and working people in Mexico who kind of had a lot of illusions about what life was like in the United States, whether hostile ones or the streets are paved with gold type of illusions, they looked across the border and saw kind of what the reality was for people here in the United States. And as a result of that, we have a much closer relationship now between unions and workers across that border than we have had, well, really, in our entire history. And that's, I think, the positive thing, because we are getting whipsawed. You know, the people like Nabisco and General Motors, they are pitting us against each other, always looking for the lowest possible labor cost, really. That's
right.
What's on their mind. And the only way that we can really fight this is by getting together on both sides of the border and facing those corporations together. Because if we are not together, we are going to be really pitted against, well, we are being pitted against each other. And the only way out of this solution is to develop those kinds of relationships. And that is happening. You know, we have, this United Steelworkers, workers at a big copper mine in Mexico, right on the southern side of the border, went out on strike against a big corporation that was sort of the inheritor of ASARCO, American Smelting and Refining Company. And those workers are still on strike. It's been over 9 years there. And the reason why they've been able to survive for so long, Charles, is because the United Steelworkers on this side of the border has been one of the main bastions of support, sending them money, sending them food. People have gone down there from the United States to show their support for the strikers there. So those kinds of things are really the new thing that workers and unions are doing. And that sort of leads to what the AFL-CIO has said about the NAFTA renegotiation. And that is, the AFL-CIO has said that a real treaty that protects working people should prohibit corporations from moving goods across the border unless they are produced by workers who have a family-friendly, decent standard of living who are involved in the production of those goods. And, you know, that could apply to us as well as to Mexico, because there are plenty of jobs in the United States that do not support families here.
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
It's unfair for those products to be crossing the border to be sold in Mexico, just as it is for products in Mexico that are being, you know, produced by people who really, you know, can't afford to support families based on the wages that people are making.
Absolutely. David, listen, we have to get going. How do we find out more about you and what you do for the American Prospect?
You can Google my name, David Bacon, like bacon and eggs. And I have a website, and I also have a blog page where all of the articles that I write are posted. So if you Google David Bacon, the reality check, then you'll find me in my articles.
There you go. Thank you very much. We appreciate you being with us today, and we'll talk to you again soon. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.